With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here for a finale podcast on Dancing with the Stars. Ho, ho, ho. Woo. And how you doing, Team Dancing with the Stars?
So good. Ready for Christmas because of so this good. Finale.
Clearly.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing every year to do this finale really pretty early in the year, and it's like hyper Christmas. It's just like,
and I don't know about you guys, but I felt like this year especially was like really, really extra, extra Christmas. Like, I remember last year being slightly holiday themed, but this year was above and beyond, especially I just felt like it was.
Well, it's the 25th anniversary. Gotta go all in,
I guess so.
They did surprisingly little like 25th season stuff, I thought, this season.
Agreed.
I was expecting, like, yes, the trio dances had like returning, returning players, returning whatever dancer people.
But alumni, I was expecting, right? That's what, like, they called it.
Alumni, right. I was expecting more like flashback dances, yeah, and way more clips, and just like generally it's our anniversary season, and it was basically just a regular season. It happened to be a good season with a great cast,
yeah,
and perfect results, but I was expecting a little bit more. Look at us and our beautiful history and how we've changed lives.
Yeah, perhaps so maybe they planned on doing some of that, and then the season happened to have some really good people, and then they said, okay, well, now we don't really need to do some of that stuff. So, cut it.
You don't want to cut into their, to their screen time.
But as Tom says, look at that shiny mirror ball trophy with the big 2-5 on it. It's like,
do we think it's actually heavy? He always pretends that it's really heavy, but I've heard that it's actually really, I don't know if it's heavy, but it's like
normal.
I've heard that it's famously falling apart all the time. Like, they're really shoddily made, and everybody who has a mirror ball is just like a, and it's just like the sequins fall off.
Yeah, I did really like, there was a moment in the first episode that we'll talk about this week where Emma was talking about making her mirror balls kiss if she were to win, and that just gave me like the giggles, because like she'd have two of them on her mantle and then she would like make them kiss. Just like, they're like,
do you think that's what Val does with his? Or that's maybe not.
For sure
all the people with two are not necessarily like to do that. My favorite part of that was her making Sasha walk by them all.
Exactly,
Sasha has never, nor will he ever.
No. Although he is like a star performer in whatever this new show that they're doing on tour, like this version of their tour, he's like clearly their front runner of the males. Like,
is he?
They just always have had him in front every time they've mentioned it this season. So like, I don't know.
I think
they feel bad for him.
Big guys, I think like Val is not going. I don't think Mark's going. Like, I think that they're not. Like, that's not the...
Yeah, but
the
Jordan and Frankie are going to make up for it.
No, definitely not. I died. Now I kind of want to go, though. I kind of want to go see it.
I mean, it would be fun, but they hadn't announced the winner yet. And it was one of those things where, like, okay, they're having Jordan and Frankie go. That's obviously the standout personality of the year and the winner of the season.
Yeah.
If Lindsay wins this season, it's so going to be two guys who dance this year.
Yeah, I guess they could always say,
specifically,
like,
not the winner.
Yeah, I guess they could always say, like, oh, Lindsay has her own tours she has to do, but whatever.
Like Jordan Fisher doesn't have something
to
do.
But he loves
it.
Jordan and Frankie love this to a degree that I believe that they would cancel other obligations for it.
Oh, God. Same. They're committed.
Is injured, too.
Yeah.
So that's true. You might not be able to do a full tour.
Excuse me. Jordan has a scratched cornea.
That was terrifying. I missed podcasting about that. That was literally, I know it was
really
actually
gross.
Less threatening to them than Lindsay's knee.
It was just nasty.
But it was so visceral, and you could see it every time the camera was on him, and he just looked so like the epitome of smiling through the pain. And I was like, oh, I hate this so much. Eye injuries are so terrifying.
Oh, so gross. Don't get me wrong. They're nasty. Yeah, I felt the same way. I mean, it was definitely... It was definitely not great to watch that. Well, let's get started. Let's talk about some semifinals first. So
what happened in the semifinals again?
Yeah, so the semifinals was kind of weird. We have a good slew of couples left before the finals. We have
Who?
Drew and Emma. We have Victoria and Val. We have Jordan and Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
We have Lindsay and Mark. We have Frankie and Whitney. So two of those people... Two of those couples don't make it to the finale.
Shocking results.
The proper finale.
Yeah,
I know, right? But they do it in a very strange way.
I was genuinely nervous about Drew making it through, though.
After this, I felt genuinely upset by his performance of let's talk about it. So they do it in two rounds for semifinals. They do a pro-choice round, which is usually where they do either a pro-choice or it's they pull something out of a hat or it's like something really random. It's something nobody cares about. And then they did this weird thing called the iconic dance round, which I kind of really liked. I thought that was really cool where they pulled an iconic dance. And I think this was in celebration of the 25th season. Let's pull a dance that,
have they not done it before?
No, I think in this instance, they're saying pull a dance that somebody has gotten a perfect score on from another season. Usually it's like do a dance that, you know, like an iconic dance. It's not done in the semifinals. I think that they were.
I thought this was like a thing that happens in the semifinals every year.
I didn't think
but
so.
Maybe
but...
I'm wrong.
I could be wrong too.
My main thought on the iconic dance thing was how annoying it was that they didn't have to do the
right?
actual iconic dance.
Yeah, the only ones
they just had to do
the
song
right,
and the style.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the song and the style does not the dance make. Guys.
That's it's like exactly
just like very loosely based on it.
Yeah. Because honestly, like if Derek was doing like if you pull Derek and Kelly Pickler's dance and her like she was incredible and you are Drew and Emma, you still have to do it. I think that's funny.
Exactly.
I think that's like
what I look for in my Dancing with the Stars is a comedy.
And instead it's just
and this
like,
would have been great for that.
Although I felt like
I love the comedy of Dancing with the Stars. I think this would be a very humanizing, humbling round, and it'd be very interesting. But no, it's dumb. Except Whitney, because Whitney knows how to do everything better.
Yeah, and I will say that the humanizing, humbling moment came when Drew Scott danced to the jazz of "Yeah" by Usher featuring Lil Jon and Ludacris, where it was I was just gonna say the iconic dance was done by Corbin Bleu and Karina Smirnoff in season 17 with Whitney Carson. Mm-hmm. So it was like clearly gonna like that was like an amazing dance. And I went and watched that dance again and it like if you just rewatch Drew doing that dance, it is so cringeworthy. It shouldn't be on television.
Yeah, and the thing is that the person
really
who
bad.
Needed to be humanized was not Drew. Like, no one was looking at that like, oh,
no,
he's just so
not
relatable. He's too good. Like, no one thought that.
He's too good.
No, but he was such, oh, God, he was such robot. Like, he looked so gangly and so robot. It was so bad. Sorry, I'm, like, viscerally upset by it still. Anyway, continue.
Oh, dear. But he's gone now. You never have to see Drew Scott dance.
And I never will.
Maybe
life.
I'm invited to his
crossed.
Wedding. You don't know. Maybe I'm invited to the Scott wedding.
Oh, my God. If you're invited to the Scott wedding, I need to know like everything about this.
What a bombshell.
Yeah. Well, inexplicably, at the end of this episode, Victoria and Val go home, though.
Yeah, so, I don't think people were behind
put
her.
Put a feather
though.
In that cap.
People didn't care about her.
No.
And she took it so badly that I was kind of like, yeah, okay, you deserve
it. Yeah, she was very devastated.
Yeah.
She was pretty salty.
It was one of those moments where it was just like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're like 21 years old. Like, you just like, she doesn't seem 21 the entire season. And every once in a while,
no,
she just like,
no, yeah.
not take things like a grown person. And I'm like, oh, right.
She's 23. Yeah. She's I just looked so it up because I was like, she is not younger than me. She's 23. So.
Oh, well, you would have taken it better,
and she
Lita.
Did a good job.
Thank you. I like to think so. Maybe I would have taken it a lot
you
worse.
You also would have made the finals, though. So it's like a moot point.
Thanks, Kelly.
But, well, if you had Val, I'm saying. Like, if you'd had me like Tony Devolani, maybe not. Because he's not allowed in the finals.
But, like, this was the only rational two pairs to go home, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
For sure, yeah. Well, yeah, I just think it's strange that she went in this spot instead of Drew, and then Drew gets cut after he has to do a freestyle is, like, beyond
He's,
me.
Like, way but, more famous slash popular than her. Like, nobody had heard of
I
her
guess
before
I just,
this.
I just wanted Val to do it at freestyle.
Oh, well, really you know what? I actually don't think Val's super great at freestyle because he's so...
I know, but I like to
We're talking
it.
About the comedy here. Fair.
No, but he's because he's so from the ballroom circuit and he's so like it ends up just being like,
yeah,
I think his Rumor Willis freestyle is probably his best. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a great pasa or something like that. Like it's a pretty normal just like ballroom dance.
Yeah, I guess just side by side. Yeah. I prefer him and Victoria to him and her Drew and Emma.
That's true.
Whatever. Splitting hairs a
but
little
I'm always
bit.
Happy for Emma. So there's that.
Yeah, same. Although I'm proud of her for putting up with, I mean, Drew seems like a really fun guy, like apart from his dancing, he doesn't seem like he seems like kind of a goober, which isn't a terrible type of person to be around during something like this, because I do feel like the pressure gets to you. So I'm, you know, a bit of a step down from Rashad, but
a bit.
It was so nice to see
I mean,
see
she
him
made
again.
It really, really far with him. I will give her props for that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre how far she got Drew Scott in this season.
Since this bizarre. Is. Did you guys have any
well, since
other...
since this is going to be our last time to talk about Val, unless we're going to talk about that weird dance he did with Jenna. Did you guys know that he once dated Amber Rose, like, last year? Because I did not know that.
Yeah, I did, because she was his brother's partner, and his brother was, like, incredibly annoyed by her all the time, so I thought it was really funny.
I just didn't know that they actually dated. I learned this week, but...
Yeah, I find it still...
He loves to date... controversial people.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm the only person.
Jenna's only controversial in this
She's
space.
So, yeah.
Just to Kelly.
Speaking of which, the in the episode I missed, not the semifinals. When did they do the contemporary that was like about her parents?
Oh yeah, that was the episode you missed where it was
about
like sad. Of course he picks Jenna for like this featured role.
Well, so the no, you know what though? Yes, of course he picked Jenna, and it was a moment of just like, oh, why do people always just pick their like it's so annoying. However, and it was also I was so tired of hearing like emotional stories about Victoria's life. Like I just didn't care anymore. However, it was one of those things where yes, he picked Jenna because he loves her or whatever, but mostly he picked Jenna so that she could choreograph the entire thing for him, because there was no way he was at all equipped to do a contemporary number. And that made me laugh a whole bunch. I was literally watching it and I said out loud, oh, Jenna choreographed this. And then he's like, I'd like to thank Jenna for her help with the choreography.
AKA doing it.
Help.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's called help if she just did it for you. Anyway, that was my only Jenna thought this week, I think.
He's like,
what were we talking about?
She was in a lot this week.
Oh, Amber Rose. Yeah. It's funny because she's nothing like Jenna in any way. Which is
opposite.
So, yeah. So it's kind of like,
I feel like they both have a lot of
down some sort of
confidence.
Sense of boob. I mean, did you watch Amber Rose's season? She was like, crippling anxiety.
I just like based on her like general public persona. Yeah,
like
and just like stuff
See,
that
I don't
she
know
said.
Anything about her general
she's,
public
she's like
persona.
Really outspoken about like certain political issues because she comes from an exotic dance background, so she like is a big advocate of that sort of thing.
Interesting. Well, she was very, very nervous about dancing and was not confident and felt bad about herself constantly, which was very, she was a very compelling figure, but it got a little tiresome.
Well, I think maybe Val needs some confidence because, like, every time he's in Jenna's Insta story, he's wearing a turtleneck. And I'm like, this needs to stop.
It's so true. It's so weird.
Maybe he's just like a turtleneck kind of guy because he wore one of those on So You Think You Can Dance too. And it was a little bit like,
he's like an old man.
Well, I think there's something about, where are they from? The Ukraine? Like, there's something,
something,
I don't know,
turtlenecky about that region of the world.
Something turtlenecky about them.
I don't know what it is, but he can pull it off. And it's fine. I mean, in as much as anyone can pull it off, I think it's fine.
Yeah, there was a lot of, I will say, a lot of intermingling in this pro round where, you know, Val's choosing Jenna to help him with the choreography. And then, for example, Mark is choosing a song, which him and his wife, their band, it's a song by their band.
No, who did that? Somebody did a number where it was Julianne Hough dance.
Oh,
where
yeah.
She danced Mark singing. And any Mark Ballas Julianne Hough interaction makes me pretty happy because I love the like weird, bizarre complexity of their dynamic.
Totally. And his band is so great. I mean, I love their music.
I hate his wife's voice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's funny.
I'm sure
I think it's just very bizarre, and I
everyone.
Like that kind of stuff.
Sorry, what?
I just think that it's very bizarre, and I tend to like some, like, bizarre stuff. You know, it's not, like, something I'd listen to every day, but I think that it's very, like, it has, like, a lot of, like, punch to it. So
I do appreciate
that. I can see how
that
it would be not everyone's cup of tea.
I do appreciate that he so blatantly uses Dancing with the Stars to promote his other projects.
Blatantly.
I just love it.
Oh, God, he's the best at it.
Do you remember a few years ago, there was, I don't remember exactly what it was called. It was called, like, the Ballas Hough Band or something. But, like, him and Derek formed a singing group.
I forgot about that. Oh, they were so cute.
They are generally so good. They had a reality show for a while where they were, like, flipping houses or something. I just could watch, like, Ballas Huffs all the time.
Oh, same, for sure. Was this the episode where we saw Julianne Hough dance to the... No,
that was the performance finale, and I gotta say, I was so happy to have her back.
Yes.
If only so that there was someone to be nice to Bruno. Which was one of those things where anyone listening
so
is
true.
Like, Kelly's gonna say this.
It
and
is
then
so
I said it.
True. Yeah, so I think that's... I mean, unless you guys have any other hot takes, the semifinals were a lot of... the same, and then a lot of these sort of outlier really great dances. I mean, we can definitely talk till we're blue in the face about Jordan and Lindsay's drive to Pride Proud Mary.
Is
but,
that the one that was
it was just
wait, they did two that were both really good. That wasn't the recreation. That was the one that was like very sexy.
Yeah, that was the one where they like they turned from like red to gold and they were like going really, really fast and it was just like crushed, they crushed it.
I thought it was very like, sexual,
it was like,
not to sound like Len.
It was. It was pretty sexual. And they were doing the double cartwheel at the end.
Oh, the one that was Mark's routine.
Yeah, the one that was Mark's routine where it was they did Proud Mary. They did Jive
to with
it.
Paige Van Zandt. And I loved that they showed up. Mark and Paige, like, because the expectation really is that this is going to be like a try hard version of approximating, and they just did it better, and it was great.
Oh, they blew it out of the water! Like they with the double cartwheels out of the at the end, I was like, my mouth was on the floor. Yeah. I was like, are his legs moving that fast? Because it's absurd.
But Lita, you're right. Paige and Mark were like a sexy couple with good chemistry. So
sexy. Yeah.
So that might have leaked
I guess
in.
That was before.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
I'm always
really
a little. I'm on the Len side. I'm a little prudish when it comes to these kinds of dances.
You know what, though? At this point, I think I'm immune because we saw so many Cheryl Burke routines this year that I'm just like, well.
Oh, and we complained about them sufficiently, I think. At least I'm consistent.
Yes.
Wow. Sorry. The ET website, I was looking at their costumes. It's just like blared music. That's what that was.
Oh, so funny.
What was the routine? I think it's actually in the performance finale, but what was the routine where Lindsay had to be in those dreadful jean shorts that didn't cover
anything? Yeah, well, she chose to do that twice. That was in the finale.
It was because they were redoing their favorite routine, right? Or their least favorite routine? No, it was their favorite routine.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. But I think that they do the... No, because they do...
That was kind of my favorite. They did have to also do their least favorite in, like, the last chance or whatever. But the denim shorts were her favorite.
It was the redemption.
A choice.
Oh, yeah.
The denim shorts were her favorite.
In the finale, like, the last episode, they redid their favorite routine, which was the samba. And in the performance finale the night before, Len told them they had to redo the jive.
They do a redemption.
Because he didn't... Or the Charleston, because it had too much fun stuff in it that Len doesn't like fun. Because I loved the superhero
routine. That was the one where they were superheroes.
But I was very happy that they got, like, here, do another Charleston. Like, that's a cool... I know, Angela, you have problems with people doing the Charleston, but surely Jordan's allowed to do the Charleston.
This one was... I don't mind this one because it wasn't super Charleston-y. I feel like I don't love it when it's, like, on point Charleston.
Oh, so you don't like anybody, like, even if someone's really good at the Charleston, you just don't like the Charleston? How do you feel about It's a Wonderful Life? There's a big Charleston section in the middle of that movie.
No. I think maybe I'm like traumatized because I had to be in a bunch of like plays and musicals and stuff where there was often a lot of Charleston. And like, I just like had to, and maybe I just like can't get behind it anymore.
Now, I was listening to that episode of the podcast on a plane and I misunderstood you. I thought it was that you loved the Charleston and so nobody was allowed to do it if they weren't going to do it correctly. And since we'd just seen Drew do one, you were just very upset because, like...
Absolutely not. Yeah, I can't say that I love the Charleston. That's for darn sure.
I was just delirious. But... I understand now.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't hate it, but it's definitely not one of my favorite dances. So I think when it's less Charleston-y, like it's less set in the right time zone and or time zone
right,
time
yeah, era
like, time zone set in mountain time no when it's set in right when it's
the theme
set
of our
in,
of our
like a different era
Pacific Coast time.
Like, for example, Victoria's Charleston was like a little cringy to me because it was like too like ha-cha-cha like the Charleston you know, like,
because
that's
too literal.
Too literal. It's like too much for me. So but yeah, I mean, I think that overall, I'm okay with it. I'll get on board.
Okay, I see.
Were there any other semifinal dances that we wanted to talk about?
I don't remember the semifinals happening. So
I'm going through them.
There was
I'm looking at the iconic
was pretty
dance.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. So Frankie and Whitney were the only ones to really do the iconic dance as the iconic dance. Like, they had the Apollo Ono and Julianne Hough Paso Doble,
that's a tough assignment,
you know, like signature. I mean, that was in 2007 and people are still talking about those knee walks. So I think that, I mean, he really it was a tough choice for them to do it that way, but I think that it was kind of a fun choice. I think it was cool for him to try it. I don't think that he gained or lost anything from doing that, honestly. I mean, people will say maybe that he lost, you know, points, whatever, but I mean, I don't think he was going to win either way. So why not try something exciting?
I will also say that I think Whitney sometimes struggles with confidence in her choreography. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that comes from standing next to Lindsay her entire life. It was an interesting move because Julianne is like probably the most legendary female pro ever on the show. So there's something about using her choreography that, yes, she has to teach it to Frankie and it's going to be harder choreography and she can't adapt it for him. But there's something like, okay, half the job is off, like the hard part of the job is off the table a little bit and I can focus on what I'm really, really good at, which is the teaching part. Because Whitney's a fantastic teacher, but I do think while I love her choreo, I think she's not super confident in it and it gets criticized a lot.
So yeah, but I liked...
Maybe that has something to do with it. The idea of having Julianne have her back in a way, almost.
Yeah, I liked that they showed her struggling with that, though.
With the one where she picked the song.
Yeah, where the executive producer was like, are you sure you want to do this? And she went with her original instinct.
Yeah. I mean, that was hella staged, but
yes. Like, I think it narratively makes sense. And
I'm
like,
sure it happened at some point.
It was an interesting story.
I'm sure it happened off camera and then they restaged it so that they could like capture the drama. But that was, you're right. That was totally compelling. And I like that she stuck to it. And I loved how Frankie approached the dealing with it. He was like, I will chime in if you want. Yeah. But all I want to say is that I trust you and I want you to make this decision. And like, if you want me to help you, great. But otherwise, like, I really believe in you. And it was so cute.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah. Their relationship is just like heartwarming and amazing. Yep. Yeah.
Like anytime he cries when he's talking about her, I'm just like.
He like pinches his nose and I die.
Yeah. They're great together. The only other thing is, honestly,
I was just saying, honestly, anybody talking about Frankie makes me want to cry. Like, for example, when Walt Whitman comes and talks
Walter
about
White.
How he
brought Walt Whitman, the poet.
Walt Whitman, sorry, the poet. Walter White talks about how he just loves Frankie and he's his boy. I like couldn't keep it together.
I love that because especially there's so many actors who you're actually not even allowed to ask them about their first show, like the big breakout thing where they made all their money for years and years. They hate talking about it. You can't talk to Adam Brody about the OC. Sorry, Lita. You're not even allowed to ask David Boreanaz about Buffy.
It's true.
But Bryan Cranston is so not only who's now like a huge, you know, he's an Oscar nominee. I think he's definitely an Emmy winner, huge, prestigious guy. He started on this really silly, not very well respected sitcom. And he's so not ashamed of it. He's so proud of it. He's so proud of Frankie.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like totally in on doing a pre-taped segment on Dancing with the Stars about how much he loves his TV son. Like, it was so cute.
While we're on the subject of Whitney, not to be like the Instagram correspondent all the time, but
is your unofficial title.
But I found out that her husband's name is Carson, which is her last name. And I don't know why that was so funny to me. But then on top of that, her Instagram is all her and Frankie. That's all it is. And his Instagram is all just pictures of Whitney. And I'm like,
I wonder, though, if that's like a voting thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. But she doesn't have any pictures of him. And every single photo on his Instagram is of her. And I'm like, I mean, if I was married to Whitney, I would also do this. But I just think it's funny because I have no idea what this man does. He has 52,000 followers on Instagram, but he's not verified and not followed by anyone I know. So.
Well, I don't think he's famous. I think he's just a guy. And same thing with Lindsay's husband. Aren't they just guys from Utah who they knew before they were famous?
I have no idea. Whitney Carson and Carson McAllister.
I mean, we certainly never bring up the fact that they're married. Like, they wear their wedding rings in every single episode. They don't take them off to dance. And they're still like, Erin never makes like a joke about like, oh, we're going to have to tell your husband about that. Like, which is such an Erin thing to say. They never do. It's just like pretending it's not happening.
Yeah, because there's definitely supposed to be like the ingenues of the cast. And I mean, if they're married, then what hope does anyone have?
I also think they're probably like more like conservative Mormons or something. Like, I think because they're from Utah, they're married by the age of like 21. Like, they're so I feel like that kind of bursts the bubble a little bit on this idea of like these like sexy fiery ladies. Mm-hmm. And so this show is just like, we're gonna pretend that you're
there's a
people.
Lot of bubbles being burst there. Yeah. But anyway, moving let's move on away from that deep hole. We had quite a few things to talk about because we have finals week, I say, because it was multiple nights. Mm-hmm. Very exciting, very dramatic, and very filled with holiday cheer.
Oh my God, holiday cheer or something else entirely.
something like that. But yeah, everyone has an intense desire to win that glittery mirror ball trophy. And there's fun music performance and Julianne Hough is back and everyone's happy.
You know what I really like are montages about how badly they want to win the Mirrorball trophy with like really dramatic Paso music in the background.
There was a lot of montages this finale, I will say.
I'll do anything because for a montage.
They did montages about how they want to win, but then they also did montages about the season, mm-hmm. like which I know they always do. But
Sasha Peterzay was cut out of all of them. She was like,
Really?
Yeah, I was looking for her. I was like, where is she in this whole finale? Because I'm pretty sure she was there. I think I saw it on her Instagram. But she was.
She looked fabulous.
Yeah, but she was totally cut out of the montages.
Well, she was in. They definitely showed her because I definitely remember a shot of her during Guilty Pleasures Week.
Yeah.
With the like baking bowl but, like, or whatever.
And they show her during the Disney
but,
week.
No. Maybe I skipped it, but I felt like they were going through everyone and like showing the elimination and they skipped her and a couple other people. But maybe I just skipped through it on my DVR.
I'm pretty sure we saw her elimination, but it was in the middle one. Like they did like the first 3 weeks, the middle 3 weeks, the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I feel like that middle one did get a little bit shafted. Like,
it was in, and it was during, like, they played it off as, like, and then we had Disney Week, and it, like, wasn't about her leaving, It was about Disney Week. Like, so at the end, it was, like, then they were, like, and we say goodbye to Sasha, no, that was it. It wasn't very, like, whereas the other ones were very prominently focused on who was leaving.
Especially because some of them led into, like, it wasn't about this person, leaving. You know, like, Derek Fisher got eliminated, now let's watch him dance for some reason.
Yeah, Derek Fisher so got weird. His own. I always think it's so strange who gets like a spotlight dance on the finale night.
Yeah, like we're going to do Barbara, who could not be bothered to learn the choreography.
Because they needed an excuse to have sexy Rudolph time. I don't know why that's
hard
to figure out.
I'm thrilled about sexy Rudolph time. Why did it need to be Barbara?
I hated sexy Rudolph
because it had to be Keo.
I thought it was so funny that sexy Rudolph time was one of those situations where you looked at who was dancing it and you're like, I see no Val. I don't remember if Mark was there. And you're like, oh, they just said, no, thank you. I won't do that. And so they put Sasha up front. We'll do anything.
I just really like animal ears on men because I feel like they have been so. Yeah. Well, I always wear animal ears, but I think that they are considered a woman's accessory, and I don't think that should be the case.
Well, I think that goes back to Mean Girls because it's like specifically a sexy thing.
Yes,
like Mean Girls, where they're the Halloween.
Yeah,
is,
I'm a mouse.
Animal ears and lingerie. Yeah,
I also love during that how Keo had a red nose on because he was Rudolph. He was Barbara's little Rudolph.
Yeah,
so gross.
In one of the episodes where I was away, I don't remember who you were talking about. You were talking about someone not being able to dance and like a bad pro being given like a punishment person. And you're like, they'll give them. And Lita said, they'll give them the Barbara Corcoran next year. And Angela said, no way. That's Keo's part. And it made me laugh a whole bunch. This poor Keo, especially in like the rest of this season, in the last couple weeks, I've really noticed him like really trying really hard and getting really into all the group dances, and he's showing a lot of enthusiasm, and like he took his shirt off to try and encourage Frankie to take his shirt off, which is not the right tact because no one wants to be shirtless in the same room where Keo's shirtless, but like it was a thoughtful gesture.
It was cute.
He's trying so hard. He's so cute, and I just know like next year he's gonna get another Barbara Corcoran, and it's just like, oh.
Fingers crossed that he doesn't, but you're probably right.
I mean, it happened for Emma. It can happen for anyone. But like, I just, this was like small PSA about my love for Keo. We can move on.
We also had this week, Julianne Hough was back and she did a dance to Miranda Davis's choreography, which was really cool. And I would love to hear, I'd love to hear what Lita thought about this because are you familiar with Miranda
Not
Davis?
Not beyond Lita? Anything they said on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, she's a really cool choreographer. And
do
I mean,
you know
the
her?
Dance was, I thought, really cool. Yeah, so I've seen some of her stuff, not like in person or anything like that, but I went to like a pretty artsy school, so I've heard of her.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, there's like a lot of cool, I thought this was cool to highlight something that was like not full of like sugar plums and butterflies and cupcakes and frosting, you know, during one of these finales, so I thought it was cool.
So what kind of choreographer is she? Is she like someone who choreographs for
contemporary?
For like serious contemporary dance companies that do perform in theaters, though?
I mean, I don't know like her whole history, but...
I'm just really excited anytime they have choreographers who aren't TV choreographers.
Yeah, I mean, I know that she went to Marymount Manhattan College, which is like where I've seen her, like her bio and stuff before, because I have a lot of friends that went there, and she choreographs at Broadway Dance Center, and I have a few friends that teach there. Mm. So I've like seen her like profile before and seen her like tagged in a bunch of stuff. But yeah, she's a teacher at Broadway Dance Center.
Is that where they go to do the jazz other class than that, in Center Stage?
Yeah, I think they do actually.
I think that's where that is.
Maybe they do.
Okay, that's very cool.
I think they do actually do that, yes. But yeah, she's like a really well-known like teacher, choreographer here in New York. But other than that, I mean, like I've just seen her stuff on like YouTube and things like that. But I've seen her tagged in a bunch of things in New York. So seeing her like on Dance with the Stars is kind of cool, because I feel like it's like, oh, somebody New York famous just made it on TV. It's pretty
that
nice.
Never
and then
happens.
I had no idea that
people are famous in New York.
I also had no idea that she suffered from like an autoimmune disease. Like, no idea. Would never. Like, I barely know her. I'm like talking like I like know everything about this person. Like, I've seen her name like a few times, but
that's more than that's, I have.
I mean, it's crazy.
That's cool. Yeah, it was a neat thing to highlight. I always like bringing in someone from like. To remind us that the dance world is so much bigger than just like all these like Utah girls and Australians and who like are best friends since childhood, which like I feel like this show right? And So You Think You Dance makes the dance world seem really, really small. Mm-hmm. And I think it is small, but it's not that small. So I like anytime they do this. I do also like sure. The like fantasy of making an autobiographical anything and casting Julianne Hough to play you. I just think that's so aspirational.
That would be what I do.
Like, she's just
sure.
So perfect.
I feel like Julianne actually did very little dancing in this, which I thought was kind of weird.
She was very brave.
She got tossed around.
Yes.
It was very,
very
brave.
Mostly getting passed around by other people whilst pointing her toes.
which I loved.
Yes. And sometimes actually pointing, like pointing her finger.
Oh, yes. Like... the elusive finger point as opposed to the toe point.
Yeah.
In dance.
Yeah. Yeah. what'd you think of the very dramatic finale of that dance with the where she got hooked in?
Oh yeah, get your life, Pink. You better watch out. Julianne Hough is coming for your gimmick.
She was pulled. Her soul was pulled from the earth
on an aerial silk,
and she was brought up.
Yeah,
to
I was
rafters.
Like, I was like, wow, they're just hooking those wires right on up to her. It was a little bit, I feel like if you were in the, maybe in the theater, you wouldn't see it as much, but from home, it was like,
it's a literal carabiner, cool. Just going right on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't want her to fall. I don't know what we'd do without Julianne Hough. No. So.
And I will say that her hair and makeup and outfit this episode, the first episode of the finale where she was on all red, was so beautiful.
I will say that my father called me and it's like an ongoing fight about how much Dancing with the Stars my mom can talk him into watching. And meanwhile, they were on a trip recently and he bought the like 25th anniversary People edition that was like all about Dancing with Stars and read it cover to cover. So he knows a lot about Dancing with the Stars, but has never watched the show. And he turned it on and he called me to tell me that he was asking whether it was like an all period costumes show. Because he saw Julie.
I could see that.
Yeah, he saw Julianne with her hair like sitting at the judging table, like in like period kind of looking hair and stuff. And then he saw Drew and Emma's freestyle. And he was like, wait, so those are different eras, but it just has to be general old timey.
It must be a time that isn't now. That
so
was a confusing
funny.
Transition because we were talking about her red dress and then thinking about period costumes. And I was like, where is this going? Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what red dress was she wearing? What are you talking about? I don't remember her red dress.
She was wearing a...
It's the one she was wearing when she was like judging.
Yeah, but that's her hair.
No,
was,
I know what you're talking
like,
about.
Tiny movie star.
But never mind.
I don't remember what her red dress looked like. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Right. No, but I feel like her hair was like that so that she could go into the dance,
I'm sure it was.
Which I think had a period feel to it. So, but yeah, I agree. She did look like a beautiful, gorgeous goddess.
Like a movie
but
star.
The Drew Scott and Emma was, like a Hollywood glamour queen. Anyway, so they did a redemption round during the finale, which was where they had to do a dance over, clearly. Mm-hmm. So Drew Scott and Emma did the Paso Doble that they did, right? Uh-huh. And they got a visit from Bruno the Builder.
Oh my God.
Wearing
I loved
an
it.
Outfit.
I loved it.
Can he
his
fix
arms,
it?
He's worked so wearing hard on his outfit. Arms. He looked great.
God, I love Bruno.
Bruno's arms he's appreciation the best.
But that paso was terrible.
There was
that
some was improvement.
Awful. Oh, yeah, no. Drew Scott should not be allowed to do it. What?
There was improvement. There was some improvement. There was still timing was. Stuff, which, you know, I'll never forgive him. But I thought this was better. Yeah.
He had more confidence, I will say.
Sure.
It doesn't, sure. It literally doesn't was, matter at so this point. You're like, this person is not going to make the top three. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And we were watching this and Mike comes in the room. He goes, hey, the other one is on. Like in response to the other brother being on the
oh,
TV.
Oh, yeah, I did
And I was just
that.
Like, yeah, no. I was like, no, yeah, they did that last time too. It's like not a big yeah, deal.
But I did like that.
And he was just
Jonathan's
like, oh, he's
great.
Been on the show already? Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is like his seventh time on this season. It's really, it's not that exciting. Like, one and done, I think, with Jonathan at this point.
Especially because Aaron said something early in the season about, like, you should have accepted our offer. So they tried to get both yeah. Property Brothers on the season. And on the Property Brothers, I really like Jonathan because he's, like, the other option
yeah,
is
he's
Drew.
The fun one.
But I'm not sure that I could have taken two Scott Brothers on
They could have
season.
Done Twin Twist oh. and switched off and played Unless- as one.
Whoa.
That would
Lita,
have been so
that's
good. I was just gonna say,
idea.
Unless they
when we
the
do
same
the Dancing
partner.
With the Stars think tank, that's Ugh. What we'll that's what we'll discuss.
Whoa, mind blown! But how many like famous twins are there that would work? That'd be like a great thing to do.
Mary Kate and Ashley,
we'll find them.
They're too good for this.
Done.
They won't do.
They won't even do Fuller
them.
House.
Yeah, exactly. Although, what
would
you do?
Twins?
The Sprouse
the
twins.
The Sprouse
problem
twins.
Is that Cole's really famous now, and what's his face is not.
You know what? They have a similar care. Number of followers on Twitter, though, because I've looked into this before. So I feel like Dylan is keeping up.
I don't. Okay, I will admit I'm too old to know amazing. Anything about those people. But I know Cole's name from people complaining, like people my age complaining that now they think he's hot on Riverdale,
he is
and they find it
really
very confusing because he's a child. And like, yeah,
he's not actually a child.
He's not a child. But he did dye his hair dark, and I think
he's
yeah,
really
that's
hot.
Like a thing.
He's really hot.
Anyway. Moving on to our hottie of the season, Frankie Muniz.
Yeah, so
it's so true. So he did I Won't Dance Again, which was Foxtrot. And he had Bruno was his guy, too, I think. Was Bruno his guy?
No, because they had four judges. So
no.
They must have had Carrie Ann.
Oh, so Len or Carrie Ann.
Yeah, because Carrie Ann was or Len would definitely Jordan. Yeah.
I said I don't care, but I said I don't remember. Yeah, I meant to say I don't
Carrie
remember.
Because Len definitely had Jordan because he got on his case about the superhero
yes.
thing. And
yes.
Mark
That's
and
right.
Lindsay definitely had Julianne because that made me happy.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so Carrie Ann is all about forcing him to get up on a table and dance by himself. And that was her tactic to mm-hmm. teaching.
Yeah, she was right? not very helpful. But I'll say, like, everybody else seemed
no,
to be coaching the others and, like, giving them help.
She's like, get up on this day.
And she was not.
Get up yeah. on this table.
Yeah. Although I will say I loved this a lot and I would just watch the Foxtrot all day if I could.
Hmm. And Bruno says, you can never go wrong if you channel Fred
that
and
was,
Ginger.
What a Bruno impression. Oh, my
accent?
God. Bruno, the 1920s New York
that was like
mob
a
hot boss,
cha-cha accent.
As we all know he is.
Yes. That's
holding
what it
a
was.
Cigar.
That's what it was.
It's really good.
Well, now I sound like Barbara Corcoran.
There was
what
also
is
a really
accent. All right.
There's also like a really funny moment during this dance when like there was like a girl in the audience that just like
yeah.
shrieked like at the end. She just like screamed really loudly and I just like wrote
I
down
love the Whitney
screams.
I mean I love the Frankie fangirls.
I loved it and I was just like she's yeah. me She's us.
I find that really hopeful, though. So I love this idea that him just being so dedicated and delightful and like winning personality wise on this show has convinced all these like young women who probably didn't know who he was, or if they did, it was like a really infantilized image of him in their heads. They are now just like, he's so sexy and he won them over by being like a good dude and working really hard. And I just think that gives me hope for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives me some hope. I mean, I can't say that I think he's like sexy, but I find him just the most.
I find commitment to a craft to be one of the hottest things. So.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, sizzle. Absolutely.
Sizzle. Anyway. Moving right along to the champ himself, Jordan Fisher. Doing another Charleston. I'll stop. So he had to redo his, we talked about this, he had to redo his superhero dance, and Len was like, stop being so swaggery or something.
Yeah, all of the criticisms of Jordan in this episode made no sense to me. Like that package where all of the returning dancers came on and criticized and like said, went through.
Oh, yeah.
And Alfonso Ribeiro was like so bitter about Jordan. He was like, he was just like,
don't think, back to Earth. Don't count your cards.
Yeah, yeah. He literally said he like needs to be brought down a peg. And I'm like, I don't know. Every single time Jordan like does that thing where he like hangs his head or falls to the floor, or like does he like gasps when he's safe or someone gives him a 10 or a standing ovation, I completely believe him. Like, I do not think this kid is full of himself.
Alfonso is just sincere.
Yeah,
so
he's
jelly.
Totally sincere. He is. He really is.
And you know what's so funny? Is that I feel like Jordan is one of these kids that like maybe I went to college with, that like you were with freshman year, that was just so eager and so ready to prove themselves as like to get the part in the play, to like be the top of the class, you know, like somebody that's just so eager that like it sometimes can be annoying, but like it's so sincere that you can't help but love them, you know? And I feel like that's Jordan.
Yeah, well, like,
and I feel like maybe some people hate that. Some people, they really do hate that. But like most people
don't. Carlton has, like, I feel like he's just jealous. I feel like that's not something that would normally, because he's a tryhard too. But Lin-Manuel Miranda has this thing that he does, who made a lovely appearance on this episode to tell Jordan he said something like, there's nothing you can do won't make me proud of you, which is a West Wing quote, which is like a Lin thing.
Love it.
But he does this thing on Twitter all the time where he talks about, like, we're in the play. And it's just, like, around the Tonys, he was doing it a lot. It was just, like, a reminder that, yes, it's competitive and there's, like, all these business side of musicals that can get you down. It's hard work and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's, like, still going back to high school and getting cast in the play. It doesn't matter
like,
what part
made
you
the
got.
Cast
like, we're in the play. Yeah. That's an exciting thing. And I feel like Jordan Fisher totally has that vibe to him, this idea of like, I get to be in the play.
Yeah.
And when I was very protective of him when Alfonso was like, he needs to be taken down a peg. I'm like, you need to be taken down a peg, Alfonso.
I mean, I do.
Anyway,
I do definitely find that annoying sometimes, but it's also the thing of like, I've been thinking a lot about like people who like quote unquote deserve to be famous, which is a thing that like I think is a complicated question because I love reality TV so much. And it's like so many people on there have absolutely no talent, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve to be famous. But like I was at the Lady Gaga concert this week and I love her. And I got so emotional during the concert because I was just like, she is so talented and she deserves to be famous so much. And I was thinking about that with Jordan, where I was like, even though he does kind of annoy me sometimes, just like with his unfettered purity and like, you know, sometimes comes off disingenuous. Like he just deserves to be successful.
Yeah. He's just, I love him.
Yeah. I don't think he is disingenuous. I just think that it sometimes can come off that way. Cause it's so like, it's a little cheesy, but it's not like, that doesn't mean it's not real.
True. Like how I'm kind of skeptical of really nice people. Cause I'm like, how are you this nice all the time? It can't be real.
Right.
Cause I don't relate to this.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean it isn't real. Yeah, it just means it can be interpreted.
I also think.
Fair. Yeah.
I also think it's a kind of a, like a weird thing to say, but I think that for the most part, everyone that's on Dancing with the Stars is coming on Dancing with the Stars at not the end of their career, the lull in their career, the blah part of their career, or they need a pick me up, or they're just like, they're done. But I feel like this is the start of Jordan's career. Sure. So it sets him at like a, it sets him at like a weird spot almost, because it's not like he's trying to redeem himself from a, like a past, or he's
make
not
himself
trying to like
relevant,
bring himself out of like, make himself relevant. Like, he isn't relevant yet because he hasn't had the opportunity to be. And
he's relevant. He's not,
well,
famous.
You know what I mean, though? He's not. Not nationally or like internationally famous. Like, he's not like a One Direction boy or something, you know, like he's like not quite there yet, but like he will be there. And like, you can see this as like the start of that. And I feel like maybe that's threatening to some of the other people on the show who are, you know, like, I don't think Frankie Muniz cares, but you know, the others who are, you know, maybe sort of like, hey, I'm never gonna get there, and that's kind of sucks. Like the Alfonso Ribeiros are like, hey, Dancing with the Stars was probably it for me, and I even won it. So like,
that's a very
the
good
fact
insight.
That he's like,
yeah,
this is the start of his career, is like, it's just a like a step in the ladder for him, is like really exciting, but also like terrifying to everybody else, because they don't, you know, they're on this show as like a last chance almost. So
yeah.
Bit of a downer, but
I think that's incredibly insightful and definitely true. And I will say, if there was any doubt that he's going to take off, that Christmas, what song did he sing? He's like a Christmas performance.
Oh my
with
God.
The crazy high note.
It was,
and then someone,
so
Aaron was like,
good.
How did you do that? He's like, practice. Yeah. This kid is going places, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was when I started to like think about that, yeah, too, because I was listening to him and I was like, he's legitimately talented. Ugh. Like one of those people that is a triple threat, who is just, he is a superstar, mm-hmm, and he's just, this is just what he does. Mm-hmm. Like, he, there was no effort there.
Oh,
and I mean, there was effort,
yeah,
but like, it was, it's, but like, you know what? It was effortless. It was just, yeah, he, it is who he is. So, and he's so young that he's just like, it's almost like when Zendaya was on, you know, like she was,
yeah,
it was just like the start of her,
oh,
career.
Oh yeah, she's,
you know, like she might not have been the best dancer, yeah, but she, yeah, but she was super special, and you could tell that about her. Yeah. So
and he's totally a five-tool player of like a future celebrity, right? To like pull out the baseball reference.
Totally.
He's like, it's,
yeah, I mean,
you're
I
right with the triple threat thing, but he's also got this super sparkly personality that's, to go back to like what Lita was saying about reality,
yeah,
TV. Like, yes, there are some, I mean, a lot of the reality TV people we pay attention to are not actually famous. They're just famous to people who watch reality TV. But like, some of the ones who are famous, even if they don't have discernible skills, it's because they have this like sparkle factor, mm-hmm, that's kind of hard to describe. And it's not actually tied to a skill sometimes. It's just like, that's a special person. And when they walk in a giant room filled with people, you can like, everyone wants to talk to them. He's got that, and he's handsome, like, and he's got the drive. Like, this kid, we're gonna talk about in like 10 years. We're like, remember when Jordan Fisher was on Dancing with the Stars? What a rinky
now that he's in the middle of his Oscar
done.
Campaign.
Yeah, exactly. It's
right.
Gonna be like his,
or he's already
high
got EGOT like
Ryan
five
Gotham,
times.
Right? Like, he's like, remember that? Yeah.
So funny. I mean, I'm so impressed with him. And I mean, we'll talk about his freestyle in a minute. But yeah, overall, like, nobody else could have won this. And I feel like if somebody had it, everyone would have been just terribly,
yeah,
terribly.
It was
upset.
One of those
so,
things where I was like, I was really, really sure he was going to win. But because it was so right that he win, I was kind of more nervous that he might lose,
yeah,
than like, we all really
like, oh,
we
no,
really wanted Rashad to win. But we also did like, Normani winning would have also been great. Like, the stakes weren't that high, but because Jordan, like,
yeah, it could have gone either way.
To,
yeah,
win, I like cared so much about something going wrong. It was terrifying.
Yeah, I don't think I've cared this much about somebody winning in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, usually it comes down to the final two, and the person I've liked is already gone, or yeah, like I just like am like, ah, they're both, yeah, great, you know. So
I also just wanted to retweet my own tweet from preseason that said Jordan Fisher for the win, because I
so
really
funny.
Like being right. So now I was kind of rooting for him.
Oh, I feel like that was like such a like an, I don't want to say an easy prediction, but we all came on the first episode and we were like, yeah, so Jordan,
I did call
Jordan
Frankie
Fisher
in that third spot,
win, right?
Though. That was my
you
out there
did
prediction.
That was very good.
Oh, you did.
Us,
you
like,
did.
I did not see
that.
That
was
well,
great.
I don't know.
I remember. Yeah, we were all like, oh, we hope so.
Yeah. But that was anyway, after he talk danced. About, I'm saying before, yeah, yeah. Like when the season was cast and everyone was like, who is that guy? And I was like, those magic changes.
It's Duty. It's the dudes. Yeah.
Jordan Fisher.
Anyway, let's do a little talking about the freestyles.
Jordan Fisher anymore.
You are allowed to talk about Jordan Fisher in your everyday life as much as you want, Kelly.
You don't understand. I don't think I know anyone who's heard of Jordan Fisher.
You can just message me and Lita whenever you feel the urge.
That's what I'll do. I'll just like send out a random tweet being like, guys, remember Jordan Fisher? Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. And just a picture of him with like hearts over his
eyes.
I do
that with that Melanie and Marco routine I love so much. Just like just reminding the world. Just here it is, everyone. Yeah.
That is a good routine. Let's talk about some freestyles and then let's talk about some fun little holiday mix-ins.
Sexy times.
Our first freestyle was Drew Scott and Emma. Who did a freestyle to a, I didn't even write down the name of the
Ding
song.
Ding Dong Daddy of the D-Car line.
Oh, of course.
Yes, by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. The only thing I did write down for this was that this took place in a Ukrainian tea room, so that must be why Val and Max are in it, right?
Wait, was that specifically it, or are you just being super observant right now?
I'm being super. I was in a tea room.
Angela knows costumes, so I believe her.
That was very impressive detail work.
It said it on the set. It was like all over the place.
This is like your Spellbox conversation where it was like, wait, what happened?
This is my Spellbox. Yeah, exactly. It's when I get bored with the dance, I just start looking around.
I did think it was kind of interesting seeing who of the other, like who the backup pros were. Because they couldn't all be in everything. They had to expand the troupe for the week because they couldn't like populate everybody. So we got Robert Roldan back and stuff.
Thank God.
But it was interesting. I like to read into like, I wonder if Emma asked them because like, and they'll do it for Emma, but they didn't want to be in Mark's routine or whatever. I just read into that too much. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. I do feel like they probably wanted to do these routines as opposed to the interstitial Christmas holiday routines.
Yeah.
So
no animal.
They probably were like,
Val.
I'll be in two freestyles if I can get.
To be
out
clear,
of doing
I
any
only care about
seeing
Artem in animal years, but it happened.
Yeah, Artem's also like really
game.
He's
so
He'll
cute.
Do kind of anything. It seems
Artem's,
which I find really
the
surprising.
The new fun
cold,
and flirty Artem.
Stone Cold Reindeer Fox.
Nikki has turned him into a relatable dancer.
Yeah, he's a fun.
Nikki was so fun during this episode. I noticed a few times that she was like very. Like she wasn't really watching where the camera was, and the camera was picking her up mouthing things. And at one point she was behind Lindsay Sterling and she was like poking Lindsay Sterling and she was like, I voted for you.
Yeah, she kept being like, you're amazing.
Like, she was like, I voted for you. And she was like, you're so good. I voted for you.
Why?
And it was like, Nikki, like Nikki, shh. Like,
no, but
the
it was
camera
so
can
great.
See you. Like, it's also like weird.
Yeah, but like, why would she?
Great,
vote?
But it was
maybe
also like
friends.
A little upsetting.
Boo.
They might be like besties. It might be like a girl power thing. I can totally see Nikki Bella being like, I'm going to vote for whatever girl is left.
Fair,
you know, like that's.
I do have to say though,
so
even though we're not actually talking about Lindsay right now, I was at dinner with my friend last night who's a like professional violinist guy. And I was saying that I don't know anything about violinists really. And I said, except there was a, or that they don't get really, like, there's a ceiling on success or whatever was what we were talking about. And I said, well, there was a violinist on Dancing with the Stars this year. And he said, ooh, which one? Like, really excited. I said, Lindsay Sterling. And then I got, like, a 10-minute lecture on how she's...
About how she's not a real violinist.
And, like, it's harming the industry that she's so simplistic and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoopsie, didn't mean to bring it up.
Well, because what she does is like she fiddles and she like dances. So her thing is like more she's like a fiddler and then she has this like dance routine that she does with it. So she's not doing like over the top like violin. Like
she doesn't
like,
play Rachmaninoff
pieces. Yeah, exactly. She's not playing like over the top violin pieces, but she's doing more complex like movements and it's all choreographed with the sound and the lights and the, you know, so it's more of a performance piece than anything. So I think that it's like it's hard for violinists to get on board with her, but I mean I didn't hate what she did during the holiday.
I'm very here for anybody who becomes famous for a thing that is very hard to become famous for.
Totally. And that she like hated herself and like was so depressed and like down in the dumps. And
I honestly think that America's Got Talent clip was so effective because like I was a little bit fatigued on like the Lindsay, everybody told me no, you know, but that I was like, okay, yeah. But whenever people say like, oh, everybody told me I couldn't do it. It's like, who is saying that to you? You know, like I'm sure that there are. Yeah. And somebody then they show the clip and it's like, oh, okay. People were literally telling you, you can't do this. All right.
And not just anybody, like people. Yeah. We know.
Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was brutal.
I thought that was very impactful that they showed that. So I appreciated that. It made me more on board with Lindsay.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that because I was fatiguing on her a little bit as well. Like I wasn't on the Kelly train where I didn't hate her personality really, but
I just wish she wouldn't wear pigtails.
You just didn't, and you didn't vibe with her. You weren't vibing with her.
That's
so,
not
and
hatred. That's just fatigue.
Right. Yeah. And I would say we were all sort of fatiguing on her. Me and Lita were talking about this during when you were away and we sort of felt like, okay, what else is new with her? But I did feel like she did whip out some stuff this week that was a little bit different. But let's talk about Frankie and Whitney.
Did you have anything else to say about the Ukrainian tea room?
No, absolutely not.
No. Sorry, I completely forgot we were talking about Drew and Emma.
Yeah, that was my fault. I was like, whoopsies. Here's a song.
Yeah, whatever. They are gone always in our hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Although I will say, like, the 90s child of me is always happy to hear the Cherry Pop and Daddies. It was such a weird moment in time when them and the Vig Vad Voodoo Daddy happened at the same time. And it was like, Everyone likes swing music now.
You're making these up.
I mean, I do love swing music.
No! Oh, Lita, you're so young. It's so funny. No. Okay. Like, the late 90s.
I learned swing dance there was in the late 90s. Moment.
I did, too. There was like my dance class did a swing number. I think we did it to one of the Vig Vad Voodoo Daddies songs, but there were these two bands. There were others, but these were the two.
Yeah, we did Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Yeah, but that's the Bette Midler song.
Well, it was like updated version.
Oh, like a special 90s swing version.
Yeah, for sure.
That
had like synthesizer in it.
Lita, we're not kidding. This was a thing that happened very briefly in the 90s where everybody was really into swing music, and these two bands, the Cherry Popping Daddies and the Big Bad Voodoo Daddies, became like national big band hits, and people wore like wide pants suits.
Have you ever seen the movie Blast from the Past?
No. The one with Brandon Fraser?
No. Yes, the one with Brandon Fraser.
There's no way Lita's
it's like never even heard of it.
No, I doubt it. But it's such a good movie from the 90s. But like, there's like a huge scene in it where they are in a club and they are swing dancing. Yeah. And they're dancing to this song. Yeah. So
this was very
case in point,
real.
90s.
It was swing surreal, was hip, but it was real.
On a sadder note, Drew didn't do so well. Well, he did fine, but Carrie Ann took off a point because he
timing.
Was out of sync.
He was one point away from a perfect score. This is a travesty. Yeah. I actually have this really bothers me because, first of all, his freestyle outscored Frankie, which
makes no sense.
Which was annoying.
Second, they're working. We have discussed this over and over again, but they're working with such a small range of score possibilities in the end because they can't coordinate with each other. There's no way for them to be like, okay, two of us give a 9 here and two of us give a 10. So they all just have to guess. And if they guess wrong, they're going to end up with a perfect score or all 9s or something that doesn't make sense. And so there was only 2-point difference between the lowest score and the highest score in this entire freestyle round. And there was only 1-point difference between Drew freaking Scott and Jordan freaking Fisher. And so it entirely came down to votes, which if you want it to entirely come down to votes, make the last round pure votes. Mm-hmm. But you can't just score everybody 10s and pretend like the judges matter.
Or do what they used to do on American Idol, where like this, they wouldn't score during these rounds, but the judges would give feedback.
Yeah,
you know, like
that's what you think your dance style. Right? Like you can try and persuade the voters. But
what do they
can't
say on
actually?
What do they say on Whose Line Is It?
Everything's
anyway?
Made up, and the points don't matter. Everything's
yeah, Lita, made you tweeted up, that out.
I tweeted it about Survivor because these advantages, everything's made up and the idols, the advantages don't matter. Like, it's just chaos. Yes, that's what it is. So I Think You Can Dance, the judges' scores don't matter at that point.
Yeah. All right, moving right along. I love this song that Frankie danced to. It is one of my favorite songs.
I don't
songs.
Know it because I don't know songs.
It's called Run Boy Run by Woodkid.
What? You made those words up.
See? Now you know how it feels.
I did not.
Sorry, that was a purposeful Lita joke, but it didn't really go over.
It's got this really amazing drum beat. And so the first time I heard it, I immediately went to iTunes and I downloaded it. And I just would listen to it on repeat and repeat and repeat because I just really like the way that the drums mm-hmm. make my heart feel. Yeah. So there's that. It was featured in the movie Divergent, I believe. But it came out far before that. But I felt like it was a really, really good song for him to dance to because it was super emotional and it came out very moody. And I loved this side of Frankie. It was dark. It was depressing. And I enjoyed it.
This is Frankie's niche now. He's done all of these. He was Jack Sparrow and Halloween Stalker. And now this.
Halloween Stalker. How?
Oh my God, Halloween Stalker.
How is that not their favorite dance? How did they pick to do Disney Week again and we didn't get to see Halloween Stalker?
Yeah, there must have been a thing of you have to do one of the early half routines or something.
Oh, that makes sense, actually. Yeah.
Halloween Stalker was so good. I just got chills thinking about it.
I like that that's its official name now.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
But this was so good. I felt like Whitney did an amazing job choreographing this, even though she doesn't always have confidence in her choreography. I felt like it really shone through here. And Sasha ringing that giant bell and the lanterns, and I just was dying. It was amazing. Just the whole scene was just really well done. I felt like it was right up my alley. May not been everybody's style, but
I loved it. I just love those two together forever.
I miss him so much.
Yeah, that's always the thing at the end of Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, I'm not gonna see so and so again forever because they're not practically famous. The only person,
Frankie Muniz, better start doing stuff.
Yeah, right.
We're gonna be really upset.
You can still see the Backstreet Boys on tour if you really want to.
If you really want to.
For the most part,
Jordan's going places.
Jordan's going places. This is true. Zendaya went places. And then you get a couple people Ginger Z is you can watch and Drew, these are people with
I can watch her in the
shows.
Morning every
exactly.
day.
Antonio Brown is really funny because he's constantly trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And every time I click, because I really loved him, but he's one of those people where I'm like, please don't be bad news. Please don't be bad news. And it's always he's the greatest football player of all time. He caught another ball.
Oh, my God. That would be devastating if something came out about Antonio Brown. Oh, my God.
But he's trending every single week during the football game. And so I click on him every time out of just a little bit of fear. And every time it's just he's literally the greatest football player in the history of the world.
He just tied an NFL record for something. It was the most games with a certain amount of catches and receiving yards. He's really good.
He's on my team.
Guys,
I know he's on your team. Guys. Anyway, we cannot talk about football anymore. But he's a Dancing with Stars alum.
But Frankie,
you should just buy the Malcolm in the Middle DVDs
or watch Agent Cody Banks and Agent Cody Banks 2.
I loved Agent Cody Banks.
I've never seen those movies.
Yes, wow. Great stuff.
They're really good.
I've actually never seen Frankie Muniz in anything because I've also never seen a single episode of Malcolm.
Watch Agent Cody Banks because Hilary Duff is also in it, and she's so good.
I'm like a year and a half too old to care at all about
you
Hilary
watch
Duff
younger. Younger. You watch Younger.
Oh, like she's great on Younger, but I watch Younger for Sutton. Let's face it, and she's great on Younger, but she could be replaced by anyone else, and it'd be fine.
You didn't watch Lizzie McGuire?
No, I'm just a little... No.
You're not that old.
I was just... I had friends who watched Lizzie McGuire, but...
What is your age?
I think
Say it
I
right
think
now.
I'm the same age, Angela, but it was the...
So what's the problem?
I had friends who watched Lizzie McGuire, but like we were right on the line there. And
I don't think we were.
I think we were right on the line, and my taste skews a little old.
I watched it all.
Well, and I had friends who loved it.
And I also watched 90210. So.
The original or the...
Yeah, the Orig. The Orig. OG.
I watched the original in reruns because I was... Six months old when the first one started. But I've only seen the first four seasons because I was watching it on some syndicated channel that only had the rights for some reason to the first four seasons. So I've only seen until Shannon Doherty leaves, and then I haven't seen the rest.
Well,
but I've seen the whole reboot.
I haven't watched I haven't watched Malcolm in the Middle like more than a couple episodes as a child. But I did like Aja Cody Banks a lot, and Frankie Muniz has been featured prominently in Photoshop form in many of my photos from when I was underage, yes. And I would use him to cover up alcohol bottles.
That is so weird. Why did you pick him?
Because one time my friends and I watched Agent Cody Banks as like adult people, and we thought it was so funny. And then he just kind of became like a joke amongst my friends. This was like it was years ago, so I totally forgot about it when I saw him on Dancing with the Stars. It wasn't like, oh, haha, that joke that I had. Like, it just came to me in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So random. But I love it. It's very random. Anyway, let's talk about Jordan's freestyle. Putting on the Ritz, the jazzy radio mix. He and Lindsay do a really great dance. And that's that.
I will say, just based on like my expectations and what he'd done previously, I thought he looked a little tired. Like I thought he seemed like he was running a tiny bit out of steam by the time he got to his freestyle. And it was it didn't blow my mind the way I wanted it to. And especially because I have really, really high expectations for Lindsay's freestyles, because I'm used to seeing her with people who can't really dance. So she has to do some like crazy stuff, like she had that guy Alec who she did like a marine obstacle course with him, and it was super super amazing cool. And this was just like a pretty good dance that they danced well, and I was expecting him to not
be
human.
I did like the lighting cues, and there was a lot of creativity there, and yes. I think maybe she relied on that a little bit too much. You know, trying to time all of that was probably very tiresome and probably took a long time. So I think that everything surrounding that maybe took a hit when it came to, you know, maybe the creativity and the, I guess you could say like the meat of the dance. Mm-hmm. But it was still, I mean, it was really great. Of course it was good. We're being nitpicky,
nitpicky. It deserved all 10.
I think it did lack a little steam.
Yeah, it deserved all 10. I think it did lack a little steam. It should have been, you know, whatever. But just, I was wanting fireworks and I got a light show, which was great, but I wanted fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like we're expecting like the Huff version of a freestyle out of her.
Yeah.
And it just fell just a little bit short of that, but I still enjoyed it.
I like how they tried to throw us off by Jordan being like, oh, I'm dropping hats and canes. It's like, you're going to be fine. Like, it's...
No, but Lita, don't you remember that if you drop the cane, you might as well walk off the stage and never dance again.
And holding on, catching a cane is the pinnacle of reality TV dance accomplishment. If you can catch a cane, that is the same thing as dancing.
Yes.
Seriously.
If you can catch multiple canes, then you get to be the star of the
season.
Way
to go, Kiki. All right. We're never going to let this go.
Kiki.
Sorry, Angela, with all your Kiki love.
Okay, no, here's what's going to happen. Kiki's going to get rehired by Dancing with the Stars, and we're going to have this conversation every week.
And I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to love him with all of my heart, and it's going to overpower your hate.
You know what, though? At that point, we'll have already had to watch Jenna on Celebrity Big Brother, and just be like... You guys will have seen the light on Jenna.
No, she's not famous enough for that, but I want it. I want it so badly.
She's not famous enough for that.
I mean, she would win, but she's not.
Did you guys like the weird pre-commercial Max saying Happy Hanukkah? Because I thought that was really funny for some reason.
I didn't see that.
So funny.
I feel like
it was just Max And it was like him by himself in front of like a white background. He just goes, "Happy Hanukkah from Dancing with the Stars." And it goes to commercial.
Wait, was it part of a larger montage where they all said like, "Happy Hanukkah, happy whatever, happy like Merry Christmas."
Like, no, they all said this was different. Just like if we were like legally obligated to say Happy Hanukkah one time.
Yeah.
Is Max Jewish?
Yeah, so maybe they forgot.
I should have got, like, don't they have a single pro who's Jewish who could have been, like, the Jewish one who says, like, why Max?
I do not know. I can't answer your questions. I don't know why I thought it was so funny, but.
He got a haircut.
Yeah,
so
I gotta say, I don't usually like short hair. Like I like short hair. I don't like super, super short. I think it looks really good. I'm like very pro Max's
yeah,
haircut.
Good. I approved yeah, of
but,
it. Yeah.
But
I liked
Val's
it a
never
lot.
Allowed to get a haircut because Val's hair
no,
is perfect.
Absolutely not. It would
but
look weird.
On Max, I really like the short hair.
Oh, you know what? Max yeah, and Val's father is Jewish. Wow. Who knew?
Haha. Good. That makes sense then. Because I was wondering, says, why would you pick Val? Like, if you had.
They felt left
if
out.
If somebody has to say, like, a greeting out of context, don't pick Max. Pick someone friendly. So, like,
I will say this was a very, very pro-Christian Christmas
right.
holiday special.
Was it though, like how
the
much
stars, apart
they
from
did?
That.
They did do a little drummer boy thing, but was there any other like?
Yeah,
because there's a difference, right, between
well,
like North American cultural nonsense, like secular Christmas stuff, and then like
right.
the Jesus stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like it was Jesus-y.
Right.
It's
there was
just
no
like
Jesus
they
stuff,
did not
but...
make an effort to be any kind of inclusive
no. to make it.
No. But I think at this
yeah,
point,
like it
yeah.
wasn't just like gold holiday. It was like this is Santa and these are the reindeer and it's red
and
green
they dance
and it's
too.
Christmas.
But I also I think
like it was like
I think Dancing with the Stars has like a fairly large like conservative fan base. First
yeah.
of all, and second of all, I do think they're just kind of at the point where they're like there really is a difference between like silly commercial, like secular Christmas, and
yeah.
so who cares? I don't. Think you should put in Little Drummer Boy because that is one that is like explicitly religious. But it was also what Ali Giancola on Twitter said to us on a scale of odd choice to distractingly uncomfortable, where does the shirtless hot guy dance with Little Drummer Boy remix fall?
Amazing.
It was pretty
perfect.
No,
I loved
it was excruciating.
It. Oh my God.
There was no reason to have Little Drummer Boy, but yeah, you're right. It was a fairly Christmas.
I loved that dance.
Yeah,
and
I loved
that the pros danced
that
to Xmas Tree by Lady Gaga, which is an incredibly explicit song.
So
okay,
good.
We're like, we're gonna do this.
It was like a lot. This was like a very sexy Christmas. Like I remember last year being very intensely Christmas. That's why they do it at the Grove, because it's like pre-decorated, so they don't have to pay for decorations.
Mm-hmm.
But like
yeah.
I remember it being
for
intensely
sure.
Christmas last year. But this year was like sexier than last year with the Christmas stuff. And it
wait,
was
the
like,
sexy man dance was
yeah.
to Little Drummer Boy? I don't think I know that song. So I didn't notice it. Oh, the pa-rum-pa-pum-pum song. It has a name. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Little Drummer
I
Boy.
I love
it. And it's about like
dance.
A little drummer boy who showed up to play his drum for Jesus.
Well, this interpretation was way better than
so, like,
whatever that is about.
this was but, like,
different,
Christmas,
that's for sure.
Christmas is not a thing I want super sexualized. Like, I don't. Like, there are some holidays
yeah.
where, like, sexify
yeah.
that holiday
Yom Kippur.
And it's still fun.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
But, like, any version of New Year's, go sexy. Great. Like, obviously, Valentine's Day, sexy.
Right.
The sexy 4th of July, even though it's not my holiday. Do what you're going to do. There's something, like, Christmas is so tied to childhood and family and turkey and just, like, things
turkey.
That I'm like, I don't want sexy Christmas. It's not appealing
no,
to
I
me.
Get totally freaked out when people are, like, Santa baby.
Ew,
like, I
no.
can't get on board with that.
I mean,
so,
Santa baby
totally
is
not
crazy.
On board with that. It's, like, so Derek and Sharna did, like, they, like, not Derek and Sharna. Sharna and one of the other male dancers were part of one of the, like, it was like Debbie Gibson's song. And she was so sexual in the way that she was dancing. And like, I was like, I can't watch this. I was just like, this is so bad. It was just really.
Yeah,
it
save
was
your
not
sex
fun.
Appeal for Labor Day like a normal, decent person. That's a sexy holiday.
Well, no, come on, man. It's just like, I don't, you're making fun of me, but I don't.
She was wearing like a Christmas outfit.
I obviously
outfit.
Have no connection to like Christmas and childhood. It was so very. It's not, you know.
Yeah, it was just too. It was too like Mean Girls. Like it was just a little cringy.
I feel like it all goes back to Mean Girls and that routine to put in a second Mean
Everything
Girls
always
reference
does.
For the day. But like they do this routine. Yeah, it all bothers me. Although I will say, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, which is one of the semi-sexy Christmas songs. For my entire life, I thought it was a story about mommy cheating on daddy with Santa Claus. And I didn't.
Oh, I did too. I didn't get it.
I was a full-grown adult before I realized that it was a story about how Santa doesn't exist and daddy was dressed up as Santa.
I think most kids don't understand that song because I didn't understand that until I was at least like 13
years old. Yeah,
because
you have to know that Santa doesn't exist for it to make sense. But like, it sounds just like a song about mommy
not that
cheating
I didn't know
on
until
daddy
I was 13,
with Santa
but...
Claus. And it's just like, what is happening?
It's, you got to think about it too much. Let's just enjoy Christmas for
Except,
what it is.
Yeah, let's just desexify Christmas, everyone. That's my request for the day.
Barbara Corcoran says no, because she needs a sexy Keo as Rudolph. So that was one of the things they did.
Sexual harassment complaints about Barbara Corcoran.
That I'm okay with.
Let's
do that.
Protect Keo.
But Len was also Santa. Mm. So that was the thing.
Now we can desexify it. That's,
and Aaron was
now
just.
Now we don't need the sexy. Yeah.
No, we're done now. Len is. And Aaron was just the hostess with the mostess.
I loved any time there was like a crane shot where they were all dancing on the stage and she had to do like a transition thing and she wants to dance with everybody but she doesn't quite fit in and she's not, it's just so funny.
She was complaining about being cold
and she kept saying I'm trying really
hard. You're in LA, like it's 70 degrees at night.
She also talked a lot about how good she looked this week, which I thought was really funny.
Right? Yeah, she was a little aggressive. She was very much so like, I'm trying really hard. Like, I'm making this happen. Like, she was, like, very intense. Yeah. So, I did enjoy them pulling a little page from the Grease Live playbook and using the little golf cart to go back and forth. That was very fun. I enjoyed that.
I did also like, hold on. Because Max is driving. Yeah. I just enjoy any kind of...
Or the one part where they left somebody behind and there's... Like,
oh, it was, of course, Alan. Because, like,
really
Alan
fun.
Is Alan. Like, yeah. He's just kind of like a bit
it's
of a
such
Charlie
a goofball.
Brown. He's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was for sure Alan. That's so cute.
He was so... Such an eager beaver.
And he caught up with the thing. He
anyway,
ran
let's...
really fast and, like, was able
he
to...
Did.
I was impressed. I would never have caught the sleigh.
Let's talk about our last freestyle before we wrap things up with the finale.
This was inevitable.
So Lindsay and Mark did a freestyle, which was good, I think. Honestly, I can't even remember very much.
I thought it was fine.
See, I actually think it was great, but I was so worried about she might accidentally beat Jordan that I was rooting against it. So I was like, I hate it.
Oh, this is where she was a conductor. Really, this is where she was right.
Sorry, what?
She was like the maestro. This is where she was like the maestro.
I thought this was fantastic. Yeah. I thought it was the perfect culmination of everything. I really like that Mark was able to hold back. Like, this was sort of the inevitable idea, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of comparing a violin posture with the ballroom frame. And the fact that he had the like self-control to hold it until the freestyle, I thought was really impressive. And like not play this card earlier. I thought it was fantastic, but I was so determined to not like it because I was so worried she was going to win because I knew that she was going to tie Jordan in the scores because there was nowhere to go from the perfect tens. Like,
right.
There just wasn't enough wiggle room there. And so I kind of like disliked it. But also my brain was like, but Kelly, be reasonable. It was fantastic and better than all the other freestyles, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, but like, I thought the dance was really good. For some reason, I think it was just like maybe a lack of fire would be the way to describe it, which is like sort of a nothing criticism. But I guess I just didn't really like feel anything when I watched this, even though it was executed really well.
Because you're rooting against
her. I can agree with that.
I kind of was. I really was not concerned about Lindsay winning. I was kind of like... I hope Frankie comes in second, maybe a little bit, but it
That's kind of where I was. I had no concern that Jordan was going to lose.
Did not cross my mind.
I was so nervous.
Yeah. I was also less invested in it than Kelly was, though, admittedly.
I don't know why I was so invested. Like, I just, it was just, it was one of those things where if Jordan lost Dancing with the Stars, I was just going to be like, guys, literally nothing makes sense.
There's no justice in the world.
I needed it to go the right way so that there was some order in the crazy universe.
That's how I felt at this year's Super Bowl, and it didn't go that way, and it emotionally destroyed me for a minute. So I get it.
Yeah. No, but we're seriously, this past year has been so bananas. If you think about the Super Bowl, the Oscars, and the election, everything, there was three major
things. I love that that's the order.
The Oscars, the Oscars went the right way. We just had to experience the moment of panic.
Correct. But either way, it doesn't really, I mean, in this it, particular with the Oscars, and I don't care about Super Bowl, but it didn't really matter which way it went. It was the fact that it was like a bait and switch. Yeah. All three of those things, basically, we were told with great authority that it was happening, that one thing was definitely going to happen. Like, you look at the way the Super Bowl went down, it was bizarre how that comeback, like, all three of those things were like, something is definite. It's a sure thing. We promise. You can put your money on it. You can put your hope on it. You can relax. And then the rug was pulled out right from under us. So this was exactly the sort of season where we would be like so sure he was going to win that people wouldn't call in to vote for him. And then all of a sudden, Lindsay wins.
He gets Chris Daughtry. Like,
well, so I just need to.
Although I will say that during Lindsay's 24-hour dance fusion round thing, where she did the last thing that they did where they had to do that fusion dance, I did sort of see the cracks in the paint where I really wasn't like scared at all that Jordan would lose. Like, I was like, oh, like, there's nothing to be like, if you compare, if you just take it in a microcosm, those three dances, it's so clear who America would want to vote
for. But this is the thing, Angela, it's like, logically that makes sense, right? And if everyone voting were a logical person with basic good taste in who to vote for, like, who a good sense of like what makes a good dance and who is worth voting for and that kind of thing. If everyone was you, I wouldn't worry ever. But it's this like ridiculous illogical reaction that I'm just like,
well, I'm saying that if you're looking at those three dances, it's like, that's, I'm not saying that those are the three dances that are showing everyone's best or worst dancing abilities. I'm saying that that's showing you that Frankie's the person that we love, that America loves. Jordan's the person that's the best. And Lindsay's just like, you know, like, there's no, you know, like, I feel like if you had to fear something, I would have feared Frankie winning over Jordan just because of like his likability.
Except that,
you know?
I could have understood Frankie winning. My brain couldn't wrap around that, because it would have been like, okay, people were tired of the perfection from Jordan. There's a familiarity to Frankie. He's so rootable. Like, that would make sense in my brain. So it wouldn't have bothered me as much. It's the complete illogicalness of Lindsay winning that was the threat. It was like, I didn't want
you.
Lex
didn't
to win
happen.
Something and dance, but I could handle, like, that was fine by me. But if Kiki won, I would have like screamed the house down, because nothing made, it wouldn't have made any sense. And I get really uncomfortable when a group of people behaves in a way that I can't understand. Because I try really hard to always understand. And if I can't, I'm just like, I'm going to be in the corner now.
Well, on that note, you don't have to try hard to understand, because Jordan did win. He won. He did it.
Thank you, Jordan, for making life better and making me feel okay that everything's going to be fine.
You've made everything good and wonderful in the world. Lindsay's been taken care of, and she has a trophy now, too.
Yay.
And Frankie was there.
Wait, that's a question. They only, do they get two mirror balls? I've wondered this a lot.
They do.
Do they?
They do.
Okay, good.
There are
Frankie and Whitney have a
There's
fake
a picture
tiny
of them.
One that I saw on Instagram that I thought was funny. They like made one for themselves.
Oh my god, really? So funny. They're cute. I love them. They're like best friends. But I mean, I loved this season. I felt like this was just great. I had hesitations at the beginning because I wasn't sure if it was going to be like too much of a steamrolled type of situation, but I think that
you know, having seen everybody sort of step up and really, you know, come through and do the best dancing that they could. And then also us finding Frankie in the mix. Like, I am pleased as punch that we ended here. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, this is a great season. Like, I think because Dancing with the Stars is something where, like, unpredictability can be fun, like, if there are multiple deserving winners, but I'm always going to be team good dancing. Like, I'm always going to root for the best dancer, at least on Dancing with the Stars, because there is so much more disparity. And so I think You Can Dance, because they're all at such a high level, like, dance talent factors into it for me, but isn't necessarily the only deciding factor. Their personalities can influence me more. But because on Dancing with the Stars, there are usually a couple people who are, like, obviously standouts, I'm fine with it not being unpredictable, as long as it's fun and we get to see a lot of really good dance and there are some really likable people. And I thought this was a really likable top three in particular. So I was very into this this whole season. This engaged me a lot more, I think, than last season, where it was sort of like, okay, there are a lot of people that are, like, not even fun for me to, like, see in rehearsal scenes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was kind of like
so
a drag.
This season, very in on it.
I mean, I love Dancing with the Stars. I think I understand the appeal of So You Think You Can Dance just from, like, a dance point of view. But I prefer Dancing with the Stars because I really like I love the dynamic between the coach and which is something I liked about this year of So You Think You Can Dance as well, was the fact that it almost mirrored Dancing with the Stars with this idea of partnership and coaching and that kind of thing. But I really like that dynamic. I love growth narratives. I love things like Frankie. I love, like, there's sort of a not really self-serious because they're very self-aware, but like a very earnest emotionality to Dancing with the Stars, where, like, things are genuinely moving for these contestants because they're doing something they didn't know they could do. And I think that's just, like, so beautiful in a weird way. And I loved watching Frankie this season. Like, he was the most perfect piece of casting. Putting him with Whitney was a stroke of genius. I don't know who casts this show and if it's the same person who makes the decision about the pairings, but, like, that was fantastic. Their character insight there was really a thing of beauty. And they were really engaging. I would have liked, I didn't mind last season. I liked last season because there were, you know, I was torn by who I wanted to win. Like, there were a couple different people who I really thought deserved to win, which wasn't as much the case this year. So that was fine by me. I would have liked to sub out Lindsay in terms of, like, a full season contestant who I had to watch every single week. I could have done without Lindsay. But, like, just having, even with nobody else, Jordan and Frank, because I was like, Drew, whatever. But Jordan and Frankie alone, plop them into any season and the season will work. And it was great. It was a really fun season and probably my favorite winner of all time. So, yay. I mean, I'm also.
Yeah, hard contest, yeah, for
I
sure.
I mean, I'm like hardcore Amber Riley all the way. But and my 6-year old heart
She's
will never
so
get
fun,
over
though.
Donny Osmond. But, like, from a Jordan, man, hard to beat.
Yeah. And Lindsay Loved Arnold it. Deserved this.
So, yeah, totally overdue. Yeah. Great story. The idea of her walking into that rehearsal room being like, I might actually get it this year because she's never been given a contender. Yeah, totally in. Loved it. I loved also even just things like having her against Whitney in the finale from, like, a subtext point of view, which is something I always love, is watching the, like, interpersonal coach dynamics and the sort of weird things happening there. I love the idea of putting those two in the finale together.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it was great.
Totally. Well, it's been so much fun recording this with you guys. I have had a blast. I think that's it.
Thanks for joining
for
us this year, Lita.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I love doing
Yay,
this.
Yay, we kind of bullied you into the ballroom after just, like, a season of So You Think You Dance. It's like, just come with me. Just, like, come on. I'm just hopping over to the other one. Just come with
it
me.
It was so much bullying.
Yeah,
I mean, was so resistant. I was like, no, I hate podcasting. I hate talking to Kelly and Angela. Why?
Yeah, you famously hate podcasting.
I hate dance.
That's what we all say about you.
She famously hates dance. Famous, and yeah. Dancing
is not her thing at all. No one follow her on Instagram.
So funny. Speaking of, where can we find you, ladies, on the internet? And what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. As Kelly mentioned, I once in a while put some dance on there. I recently recreated my fave So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh my God. Yes, you did.
routine so from the season. Thank you. And yeah, I am podcasting intermittently at this point. And now that this is over, I have no regular show. I need a Big Brother celebrity to start. But so follow me on Twitter to see what I'm up to there. And I am writing weekly Survivor recaps for myentertainmentworld.ca, which brings me to Kelly. What are you up to?
What am I doing? I'm editing Lita's incorrect opinions on Devin.
I have no opinion on Devin. How can they be incorrect?
That's exactly what I mean.
How can you edit it? You have to write my opinions for me and insert
them? Okay, when I say edit, I do not edit Lita. Lita's wrong a lot, and I let her be wrong.
Oh my God. I'm sure everyone's
she's
right.
she's never factually incorrect, to clarify my wrong comment. She's always factually correct, and we have dramatically different tastes in reality TV contestants, yes. Specifically non-dance related, like Big Brother and Survivor, like polar opposite opinions there. So I bite my tongue. I will very occasionally write like a little parenthetical that's like, editor's note, Devin rocks. He's going to win. But I was wrong about Jessica. I thought Jessica was a lot better but then she went home. So I was like, let's see. So I do that. So I edit. So I basically just like, I don't know, spell check Lita's stuff. And then I edit other people too, but they're less interesting than Lita. Let's see. Oh, we have some really good ballet content happening on the site right now, so you should all check that out. One of my writers, Chelsea Dinsmore, went to the National Ballet and she saw Winter's Tale twice and Nijinsky four times. Wow. And she's writing.
Whoa.
I love this. She's writing a comparative piece about how the different casting, because in ballet the main roles are played by like four different casts for each run, and she's writing about how each different dancer and their particular stage presence and their particular technical style informs and changes the storytelling. So if you're like a hardcore dance person, definitely check out Chelsea's work. It's so cool.
Which we are,
right? It should be a target market situation right now. So check that out, myentertainmentworld.ca, and all that stuff. I also try and post it all on Twitter and Instagram, which are company accounts. So at myentworld for both. That's kind of it for me. Oh, we have a Shakespeare series. We're podcasting right now. So every Saturday, there's a new episode going up on our podcast feed, which you just search My Entertainment World on iTunes or whatever. And we have other series going on, other one-off episodes. I'm going to do a Survivor thing coming up soon. But for the most part, right now, our big thing is we're doing a Shakespeare series where every Saturday I talk to a different, mostly actors and directors, sometimes just scholars and like people who love Shakespeare, deep diving a different text every week. So 2 days ago, King Lear went up. Before that, we have Merchant and Hamlet and Timon of Athens for some reason. So those are really fun in like a super nerdy way. They're not like actually super fun, but they're, I think, fun because I'm a Shakespeare nerd. So that's that. And I'll stop talking now. Ange, tell us about your dog's Instagram, please.
So you can follow my dog at Lily Bloom Puppy Dog. And you can also follow me at Ange Pelagi on Instagram and Twitter. And that's about it. Yeah. After this, I will not have a regular gig for a bit, but you can always find me on various rehab podcasts. I might be filling in on Are You the One coming up. I might be doing something with Mike coming up. It's all up in the air. I'm very easy breezy when it comes to podcasting. So follow me on Twitter and I'll definitely keep you everyone posted. It's been really great. And thank you to everybody for listening this season. And we will keep you all posted on anything coming up in the dancing world. But until next time, we'll see you out on the dance floor. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.